Then Allah says, وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَا, and do not give the weak-minded, أَمْوَالَكُمْ, your property. Which property? أَلَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا, which Allah has made a means of sustenance for you. وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا, but provide for them with it. وَكْسُوهُمْ, and clothe them. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, and speak to them words of appropriate kindness. وَلَا تُؤْتُ. Over here, the command is to the awliya, the guardians. As we know that in the previous ayat we learned that the orphans, they should be given their wealth. Then, at the time of marriage, the women should also be given their mahr. It doesn't go to the father, it doesn't go to the brother, it doesn't stay with the husband. Who does it go to? The woman. Over here Allah says, do not give your property to the sufaha. So in the previous ayat, we were told as to who we should give the money to. And here we are being told, don't give your money to such and such. لَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. So don't give the foolish your wealth. Now the question is, who are the sufaha? Sufaha, as you know, is the plural of safi. And who is safi? Someone who is weak-minded. Someone who is weak-minded. Someone who is not good in managing their affairs or managing the affairs of others. It's the weakness of the aql, the weakness of the mind. And this could be because of different reasons. First of all, it is because of one's nafs. What comes under it? For example, lack of intelligence, lack of sharpness. When a person is incompetent, that is what? Safaha. Similarly, it could be because of sighar, because of being young in age. Like for instance, a child, you give them $100, 3-year-old, is he going to know the value? He's probably going to rip it apart. He's probably going to start sucking on it. So sometimes it is because of lack of intelligence or sharpness, incompetence. Secondly, it is because of sighar, being young in age. And thirdly, it is because of junoon, because of insanity. So the one reason for safaha is because of one's nafs, meaning there is a problem with the person. What is the problem? Either in the mind, or the age, or junoon. The second reason is because of ghay. And what does ghay mean? قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ, deviation, misguidance. What does it mean by that? That for instance, a person does not know the deen, or he does not care about observing the deen. Does that mean that he has safaha? Yes, he does. Because in Surah Al-Baqarah, what did we learn? وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ نَفْسَ. Who would turn away from the religion of Ibrahim except the one who has سَفِيهَ نَفْسَ, except the one who is being foolish. So foolishness is not just due to incompetence or just because of being young in age, but it is also because of lack of the knowledge of deen or being negligent towards the deen. When a person does not care about the deen, when a person does not implement the deen. So over here when Allah says, don't give your wealth to the sufaha, what does it mean by that? Who does the sufaha include? First of all, it includes those people who are less in their intelligence, meaning they're not intelligent enough, they're not sharp enough. And this could mean that in general, they're not sharp enough, they're not intelligent enough. For instance, a person is really mentally disabled. Or they are not sharp in money matters. They're not sharp, intelligent enough in money matters. For example, if a person like me is told to calculate the tax or something like that, I'm not going to be able to do that. Why? I don't have a degree in accountancy. I studied accounts 5 years ago or something, and it was basic. So if you tell me to do something like that, I don't know. All I know is this is a debit transaction, and this is a cash transaction, and that's it. I don't know anything more than that. So it could be because of lack of intelligence in general, or specifically in money matters. So for instance, children. Once this friend of mine, her brother, we were walking by this particular stall, and they were selling one chain for $1 or something. And he really liked those chains. And he's saying, you know, I wish I had $1,000. I would buy 1,000 chains. And you wonder, if you give him $1,000, he's going to buy 1,000 chains. What is he going to do with those chains? What is he going to do with them? So if you give this child $1,000, he's actually going to go buy 1,000 chains. Is that reasonable? No. So over here, وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَا أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Don't give your wealth to the sufaha. So who does the sufaha include? First of all, someone who is less in aql, less in his intelligence, either in general or in particular, in money matters. Otherwise, a child is very intelligent. He's very good at reading. Very nice in his mannerisms. But when it comes to money, he doesn't know. Similarly, it could be a woman as well. Sometimes girls get married, they're wearing gold jewelry, they go to their mother's house, they leave a ring here, they leave their watch there, they drop a chain there, they lose a bracelet here, and other people are finding their jewelry from behind them. Similarly, they go somewhere, they leave their wallet, they leave their purse, they lose it, they forget it. So if you give the woman all of her jewelry, then wear whatever you want every day, what's going to happen? She's going to lose it, right? But if she is given one by one, one thing after the other, or a little bit at a time, similarly, if she's not given all of the money to keep in her bag, but a little bit of money, for instance, if a woman is given $1,000 every month, she never checks the price of the items that she buys, what's going to happen? Within a week or something, she's going to run out of the money. Similarly, if you give her a card, use it however you want, instead of cash, what's going to happen? She's going to be swiping the card all the time without knowing the consequences. But if she's given cash, then what happens? She knows about what she's spending. She's going to be careful. So, first of all, it is someone who is less in aql, intelligence, for whatever reason. Secondly, it is said that as-sufaha refers to those people who are mubadhirin, meaning those who are wasteful in spending their money, who are not that careful in spending their money, who just spend here, they spend there, they don't care about how much something costs. If they need it, if they don't need it, they just spend their money. It includes men, women, and children. It includes men, women, and children. Thirdly, it has been said that as-sufaha refers to those people who don't implement the deen, or who don't care about the deen. So for instance, there is a father, and he has a son. And the son is an adult. Let's say he's 20 years old. Now the father gives the son, because he's in school, he's in university, every month he gives him $500 or $700 just to spend, because the father can't afford. What does Allah say? Don't give him that money. Why? Because if he has that money, he doesn't care about if he's spending on halal or haram. If he's spending on drugs, on alcohol, on haram movies. Similarly, he will go buy things that are useless, that are not that beneficial, because he does not care about the deen. He doesn't have taqwa. He's not that righteous. He's not that pious. So he's going to waste his money. And he might end up committing haram by using that money. So لَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Then it has been said that as-sufaha refers to those people who, because of their straitened circumstances, because of their ghurba, because of their poverty, they lack that money sense. Like for instance, if a person has a debt, they have a debt to pay off, they have a loan to pay off. Somebody feels bad for them, like a relative, mother, sister, they feel bad for them. Okay, you know, you take this money. So they give him $1,000. Now, because he has been so careful with his money recently that he's not been spending on himself, on his desires. Why? Because every penny of his is going into returning the loan. Now, if he gets a gift of $1,000, what is he going to do? He's not going to be careful in spending that money. Sometimes it's amazing that people have a loan and they will use their money for what? To buy the latest cell phone, to buy the latest computer, to buy a really nice shirt, to buy a really nice bag, to buy really nice shoes. And you wonder, this is why I gave this money to you? No, I gave this money to you so that you could pay off your loan, so that you could go eat some good food, put some decent clothes on yourself, and you're going and buying a nice cell phone, which is not even a need, which is not even a necessity. So sometimes, because of the circumstances that a person is in, what happens is that he's not money smart anymore. He's not smart in using his money anymore. So in this case, لَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Don't give to the sufaha your wealth. Now, your wealth has been understood as the property that is theirs but is under your care. So for instance, there is a yatim. There is an orphan child, 7 years old. And if you give him all of his money, what is he going to do? I can buy 50,000 candy bars with this. Is that correct? No, don't give him. It's his wealth, but it is under your care, under your supervision. So don't give even the money of the sufaha, of the safih person, to him. Similarly, a woman, she gets married, and at the time of marriage, she's given $50,000 as mahar. She thinks, I have $50,000, I can buy jewelry, and I can buy clothes, and I can buy this, and I can buy that. So what happens within 2 years, her bank account is gone. It's finished. Whereas if she was a bit smart, if she was a bit clever, she would have used that money wisely. So although the money belongs to her, but it is in your care. It's in your supervision. So لا تؤتوا السفهاء أموالكم. So who does أموالكم refer to? The wealth that belongs to the sufaha, but it's actually under your care. Secondly, it has been said that أموالكم actually refers to your wealth. It is your own personal wealth. So don't even give some of your wealth to who? To the sufaha. So for example, your own child, your own wife, or your own brother, your own sister. Don't give it to them if they fall under the category of sufaha. Why? Because if you give it to them, what's going to happen? Either they're going to harm themselves, or they're going to waste the money. They're going to waste the wealth. It's not good for them, nor is it good for their money. And sometimes if a young child is found with so much money, what happens? He's vulnerable. Somebody could come and attack him and take all the money from him. So لا تؤتوا السفهاء أموالكم. Which wealth? الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. That which Allah has made a qiyaman. For who? For you. Allati. What does allati refer to? The wealth. Meaning the wealth that Allah has made for you qiyaman. Qiyaman is from the root letters qaf waw mim. And the word qiyaman has been understood in several ways. First of all, qiyaman has been understood as qiyam, meaning a support, a standing. Grammatically, the word qiyam is a masdar. Masdar of qama. What does qama mean? He stood. So qiyam, to stand, standing. Qiyam al-shay is to look after something. What does qiyam al-shay mean? To look after something. From this is the word al-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa. The men are qawwamun, meaning they are the ones who look after, maintain the women. So qiyam is what? A means of subsistence, a means of support, that on which your life, your well-being, your livelihood are established. So the money, Allah has made it as a support for you. On your money is your livelihood. Your livelihood is based upon your money. Your well-being is based on your money. And to the extent that even your deen sometimes is based on your money. If you don't have money, how are you going to give sadaqah? How will you travel to learn? How will you spend in order to buy books? How will you spend to go for umrah or hajj? So money is needed not just for worldly affairs, but also for religious affairs. So your worldly and your religious affairs, both of them, what are they based upon? Money. So this money, Allah has made a qiyam for you. Without this money, you won't be able to do anything. Secondly, the word qiyam has been understood as the plural of the word qa'im. Like we heard earlier in Surah Ali Imran, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. So qiyaman are ones who stand. So literally the word qiyam is the plural of qa'im. However, this meaning is not applicable in the context. Thirdly, the word qiyam has been recited as the word qiyaman. Qiyaman, with a fatha on the ya only. What do you see over here? Qiyaman, with an alif after the ya. Another recitation is that there is no alif after the ya. It's just qiyaman. And qiyaman is a plural of qima. And what does qima mean? The value or the price of something. What is it? The value or the price of something. So, الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. So, all of this wealth, Allah has made it as a qima for you. Meaning this is something of value to you. This is something that enables you to spend, enables you to earn, enables you to eat, enables you to work. So الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. So قِيَامًا, to summarize, has been understood as, first of all, a means of subsistence on which your life, your well-being, your livelihood are established. With it, you fulfill your needs, and with it, you fulfill their needs. If you give all of the orphan's property to him, how are you going to spend on his education if he has wasted all of it? How? You can't. Secondly, it has been said that qiyaman means that Allah has made you qiyam over the wealth, meaning He has made you responsible over it, meaning you are the guardians over the money. Which money? The money of the orphan. You are in charge of it. You are supposed to guard it. You are supposed to look after it. And if you give it to them, what's going to happen? They're going to waste it. So don't give it to them. What does it mean then? Don't spend on them at all? Is that what you should do? Because many times men say that, you know, our wives, they don't know how to spend money. They don't have to use money. So every month I give her only $50. Because if I give her 100, she's going to waste it. I can never give her a card. So I give her only cash, but only a little bit. Is that what you should do? What does Allah say? وَرْزُقُهُمْ فِيهَا. And provide them in it. Meaning give them something of it. Don't give them all of it, but give them something of it. Let them have access to money so that they can fulfill their needs. And remember that urzuquhum from rizq, what does rizq include? Your food, groceries, lunch money, your house, your bed, everything. That's what rizq includes. So warzuquhum fiha, provide them in it. But the question is, it hasn't been said warzuquhum minha. What does minha mean? From it. And what does fiha mean? In it. So what does it mean by warzuquhum fiha? Provide them in it? How do you understand that? Provide them in it. If it was said وَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهَا, what does min mean? Some of it, part of it. And that would indicate that each time you are giving them some of the money, what's happening to your money? It is reducing. Each time you give them, your money is reducing. But when Allah says وَرْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا, in it, then fi refers to the profit that you're gaining on your man. The profit that you're gaining on your wealth. So let them share in the profit that you earn on your wealth. Now, in this is an indication that the property of the orphan, don't just let it sit. Don't let it sit. Let's say an orphan, he inherited $50,000 from his father. Don't let that $50,000 sit. Invest it. And the profit that you gain on that money, provide the orphan from that profit. Let him have a share in that profit. So you understand why fiha has been said and not minha? Minha would mean that each time you're giving them something, your money is reducing. And fiha, what does that show? What does fiha show? That let them have a share in it, which indicates that the property of the orphan, the money of the orphan, cannot just sit in your house, but rather you have to invest it so that it grows. And from the profit, you provide the orphan. وَرْزُقُهُمْ فِيهَا. وَقْسُوهُمْ. And you also clothe them. وَقْسُوهُمْ is from the root letters kaf, seen wa, from the word kiswa. What does kiswa mean? Clothing. And generally the word kiswa is used for clothing that is put on someone else. So وَقْسُوهُمْ and clothe them. So don't just worry about their food, about their residence, but also worry about their clothes. Sometimes parents, or in other situations, husbands, they don't let the women, or they don't let children, have access to the money. And they only care about, okay, they should have food at home, a little bit of lunch money, and the fees for their school. And they don't care about the other needs. They don't care about the other needs of the children or of the wife. So let's say their clothes, or for example with women, they don't just need clothes, but they also need, for their monthly period, they need some extra money in order to take care of their hygiene. So sometimes the women are not given that much, or sometimes the daughters are not given that money. What does Allah say? Waqsuhum, and clothe them. Now, it doesn't mean that every month they have to be taken on a shopping trip where they buy the latest clothes and most expensive ones and they say, waksuhum. Yani, maruf. So, waksuhum. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ And say to them, قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا A word, a statement, that is recognized, that is acceptable. What does it mean by this? That speak to them a word that is acceptable. Speak to them nicely. Why is this said over here? Sometimes it's possible that a person feels that he's in charge and he's the boss and he can treat the other, he can speak to the other however he wants. Sometimes, because see, the word sufaha has been used. Sometimes the foolishness of the other person really bothers you. For example, children, this game is out now. I want this game. Give me money. I want to go here. Give me money. What do parents do? Sometimes they get so sick and tired, so frustrated, they give it to the children. They shout at them. What does Allah say? وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا So sometimes, because of the foolishness of the other person, you get very annoyed, very irritated. What does Allah say? Speak to them gently. Speak to them appropriately. And specifically at a time when they demand it from you, or if they start complaining. Sometimes, you know, children, they have some money and the parents, they have kept it safe for them. For instance, at Eid, children collect a lot of gifts. So what do parents do? They keep the money for the children. What do the children say? You have my money. That's mine. It belongs to me, so give it to me. So at that time when they're insisting, when they're annoying you, don't be harsh towards them. Speak to them in a way that is appropriate. Just turn their attention. Divert their attention. Distract them with something else. قُولُ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا Meaning, a word that is layin, that is soft, that is lenient, that is gentle. Don't be too harsh with them. So what do we learn from this ayah? What's the first thing that we learn? وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ We learn about the prohibition of giving wealth to sufaha. Those people who cannot manage money. Those people who cannot use the money properly. In this ayah is a prohibition of giving wealth to them. Whether that wealth belongs to you or that wealth belongs to them. Whether that wealth belongs to you or that wealth belongs to them. Because sometimes children cannot look after their own money. So the parents, they keep the wealth, they keep the children's money for them. So in that case, the children cannot say, my parents, you know, they keep my stuff and they don't give it to me. It's so unfair. No. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, don't give wealth to sufaha. What else do we learn from this ayah? What do we learn from this command? Why has this command been given? Why? Give the money to the sufaha, let them spend. They will learn themselves when they have nothing left. To preserve the wealth. So we learn about the prohibition of wasting wealth from this ayah. It's not allowed for a person to waste wealth. Sometimes you say, I can afford this. It's okay, I can afford this. Even though I don't need it, I can afford it, I have the money. But if it means that you're wasting your money, then that is also not permissible. Even though you can afford it, even though you don't consider yourself to be a Safi when it comes to money. So we learn about the prohibition of wasting wealth. We learn that إِنَّ الْمُبَدِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ The mubaddirin, those people who are wasteful, they're the brothers of shaitan. What does it mean? That they spend where shaitan wants them to spend. Also we learn from this ayah that the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to people is for what purpose? To maintain your livelihood and also spend on religious affairs, on dini affairs. So the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the people is a means of subsistence, is a means of livelihood for them, and also for the betterment of their worldly as well as religious affairs. Also we learn from this that if a person has been given money for a specific reason, like Allah has given us money for a specific reason, then we cannot use that money for something else. Because the money has been given to us as qiyaman. Therefore, Allah has said, don't give the money to the sufaha. Because if you give it, they're going to waste it. So similarly, if somebody has given us money for a particular reason, we're not allowed to use it elsewhere. For instance, a child, a student of knowledge, they're given money by their parents. And what do they do with the money? Instead of spending on their books, instead of spending on their education, they go to the mall and buy themselves nice clothes and shoes. Sometimes the government gives grants to the students. or the universities that give scholarships to the students, what do the students do? Instead of spending on their education, what do? They spend on fashion, they spend on clothes, or they spend on a more expensive place that they could rent and show off to their friends. What does this show us? That the money that has been given to us for a specific reason, we must use it on that alone and not elsewhere. It's like an amana on us. It's a trust on us. So those of you who are being given money by your parents to come here, to stay here, to spend on the fees, use it wisely, use it properly. They've given the hard-earned money to you so that you can benefit. And the money that they've given for a purpose, make sure that you attain that purpose as well. You attain your goal as well. How much they're spending, your parents, so that you can come here and study. And if you don't study, you're spending your time doing something else, wasting your time. What good is that? It's like as though you're wasting their money. Also, we learn from this ayah that a person who is responsible, the guardian, the in charge, what is he supposed to do? He is obligated to spend on those who are under him. He is obligated to spend on those who are under him. On what? On their rizq as well as their kiswa, their clothing. If you think of it, clothing comes under rizq, doesn't it? But it has been mentioned separately. But don't ignore this. Especially with children, what happens? They outgrow their clothes. And women, they want new clothes all the time. So waksuhum, clothe them. Also, we learn that it is wajib upon a person to not speak to the others harshly just because of their foolishness. Sometimes we're talking to someone and they're talking about silly things, nonsense, and we get very annoyed and we think that we can just shout at them or say some harsh words to them or just quickly try to hang up the phone. So in talking to someone who is safi, we don't have the license to speak to them harshly. In every situation, in every circumstance, how should we speak to the other? قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. A statement that is appropriate. Recitation.
وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً فَإِنْ طِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا. وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا.